Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Bob. If you came to this church online, this is your first time either viewing or coming here today. I am not Steve LaMarco, who is our pastor here. I am filling in for Steve as he is about to come back from overseas along with a group of four others. They're in Latvia right now, and if you could be praying for them, pray that all of their flights come together on the way back, and they'll be back on Wednesday. So remember when Steve mentioned a couple weeks ago that they needed to do a dance at this camp, and he was hoping, he said, that there wouldn't be a bootleg video of this. Well, we have one. Roll that video, would you? Oh, wait. Oh, it's not ready after all. What a shame. Second service. Come back for second service. We'll have it ready. No, I haven't seen a video. I have seen a lot of pictures. It looks incredible. But welcome. Glad you're here. Steve and Alex have been in a sermon series about characters from the Bible. Now, I don't mean like they're characters. What I mean is they are people from the Bible that we can learn from. Pastor Steve had mentioned Moses, a big character in the Bible, let's face it. He had also mentioned Thomas, or as we like to call him too often, Doubting Thomas. And remember, Pastor Steve said, I'm not so sure that's a good moniker on him. If you weren't here for those, look those up online. Alex, that last week, was talking about Paul, or as I'll mention him by name, as Saul this morning. So Alex had really teed it up for me to talk about Paul's beginnings and how what his testimony was. So I will continue the series. Open your Bibles with me. If you don't have a Bible with you, take one from somebody else that has one. No, don't take one from somebody else that has one. There are Bibles underneath the chairs here. They're in the little racks. Go ahead and grab one. If you don't have one at home, take it home with you. Put your name in it. Pick it up and read it. That's what they're there for. They're there for you. Acts chapter 9 is where I'm going to go. Acts is in the New Testament. If you look up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the next book will be Acts. It's actually a continuation of Dr. Luke's book, the book of Luke. In fact, if you've never read them together, I would highly recommend you read the two together. Read through the book of Luke because it begins with Christ's birth, ends with his death and resurrection, and that's where the book of Acts begins, is right there, Acts chapter 1. And it begins with Jesus saying, hey, guys, I'm going to go. We've got some last-minute instructions to go through. So I would highly recommend that you look that up. You will notice, if you go to Acts, that it's about the Acts of the Apostles, is what it's called. But this is more than the Acts of the Apostles. I'm going to relate to you a character today that is in the book of Acts in chapter 9, named Ananias. The main theme of the book of Acts is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Put that up on the screen, would you please? Acts 1, verse 8 begins, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power, and we were just talking about that. The power we're talking about is kind of like, I don't want to offend anybody that has a Subaru Impreza, but if you got a Subaru Impreza, it probably has a four-cylinder engine in it. And let's face it, the four-cylinder engines are better than they were years ago, but they're not great. But if you throw a turbocharger or two in there, you've got a WRX STI, which is a little road rocket. They're a great car. You've probably seen them. They're usually blue, and they've got a big wing on the back. Those are fast. That's a turbocharged car. What the Holy Spirit does when he comes upon you is he turbocharges you. God speaks in and through you and will use you under the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but don't worry, I'm going to leave you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And this is what he's talking about here. When he comes, how is the Holy Spirit going to help you? And you, turbocharged, that is, will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, which is nearby, throughout Judea, which is a little further out, in Samaria, which is kind of a place that they didn't want to go, but knew they had to go, and to the ends of the earth. That's how Jesus was encouraging them and challenging them in Acts chapter 1. Now, as we get up to Acts 9, a lot has gone on. We don't have time to go over it. But I've entitled this The Power of Yes, because we'll see that an ordinary Christ follower, this guy named Ananias, is transformed from reluctant to radical just by agreeing with God, just by saying yes to him. Now you're saying, Bob, Ananias, wait a minute, isn't that the Ananias and Sapphira thing? Doesn't he get wiped out? No, that's a different Ananias. I thought, Bob, wait, there's another Ananias. He's in chapter 23. He was a high priest. It's not the Ananias. This is the Ananias in the middle, you might say. And I hope you're already in Acts Ananias chapter 9. Yeah, not even close. Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read there. Got your Bibles ready? I realize this wasn't a pretty pulpit Bible. It's held together by duct tape, so excuse me for that. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 begins this way. I hope you're there. Meanwhile, Saul, who is Paul, thank you for that call. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath. He was eager to destroy the Lord's followers, so he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. Now, the way, what is the way? Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. It's just kind of an abbreviation there, the way that he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Oh, that doesn't sound good at all. As he was nearing Damascus, this is Saul, on this mission, a brilliant light from heaven suddenly beamed down upon him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, sir? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now, Saul thought he was going to persecute Christians, Christ followers. But look at who's speaking here. Jesus is saying, you're not persecuting them, you're persecuting me personally. Verse 6, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men with Saul stood speechless with surprise, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they saw no one. As Saul picked himself up off the ground, he found that he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days, and all that time he went without food and water. We're going to stop there for a second in verse 9. Saul's experience, a conversion experience, as we sung, it's his testimony, can be summed up in three lines. He saw light, he heard a voice, which we knew, we found in the words, it was Jesus' voice, and he obeyed the voice. He saw light. He heard a voice. He obeyed the voice. Before this, Saul knew about God. He was a Pharisee. They're the strictest sect of Judaism. They followed all the rules. They were the ones that were looked up to because they did follow all the rules. They were careful about tithing and what they were eating and how they served God. He was a well-learned man, Saul. He was a God follower. But he only knew him through the book, not through life experience. His conversion here is only by the grace of God. And it's because of Saul's obedience to the Lord that God allowed him to be what Saul eventually came to be, and that was Paul, as we know, Paul the Apostle. But let's leave Saul. Let's leave him blind. Let's leave him hungry. And let's leave him for a few days. And let's hear, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Let's pick it up where we left off in Acts 9, verse 10. I'll read it for you. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. Look how he responds. Yes, Lord, he replied. Or in some versions it says, here am I, Lord. How is Ananias described there? He's described as a believer, a disciple. Another way to translate the word from the original Greek was he was a follower. He was a learner. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. He's not a prophet, though he has received a vision. He's not a pastor. He's not a teacher. He's not a worship leader. No offense, Alex. He's not a mucky muck. He's not a leader. But God has called him. Notice three characteristics about Ananias that we can dig out of this one verse. First, notice how he was living. He was a believer in Christ, we know that, but he was also maturing in the knowledge of Christ because, as I said, the word disciple means a learner. He's living a separated life, and that doesn't mean he's ostracized himself. He's not living in a monastery, though they weren't around yet. It's not that he's living alone outside of contact with the world and people. It means that he has said, I am going to follow God's ways. I'm going to follow the way of Jesus Christ. And that can mean, friends, a separation. I remember years ago, it was a long time ago, I was far from Christ until some friends told me about Jesus and invited me to their church. And maybe that's you today or you listening online. You got invited, and that's a good thing. But it will change your life because what I found out is I said, I agree with what Jesus says. I'm going to follow his ways. My friends didn't want to follow Jesus' way. And myself and my then girlfriend, now my wife, found ourselves alone outside of our friend's circle. But there can be a separation that goes on, but you need to live a different life. Write down this verse. I didn't include this in the slide, but write this down. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. If you want the Lord to use your life, make sure you're saved, which means born again of the Spirit, as we just sang. Separate yourself from evil and grow in the Lord. So the first one is, notice how Ananias was living. Let's go to the second one. It's another L. How about that? It's like a Baptist preacher. Notice how he was listening. As soon as the word of the Lord came to this servant, Ananias, he was able to respond, here I am, Lord. Or as it says in this version, the New Living Translation, he says, yes, Lord. Simply, yes, Lord. He heard his voice and responded. This tells us that Ananias was a man who was ready to hear the voice of God. He was waiting to hear from God while he was alone. He didn't freak out. Notice how many times in the Bible when angels appear, when Jesus appears to the apostles after his resurrection, what are the first things that they say? Peace be to you. Peace to you. Ananias didn't freak out here. He met the Lord in a vision, and he didn't freak out. Why? He was waiting. He was anticipating a response from the Lord. He was waiting for God to show him the next steps. Write this verse down. Psalm 5, verse 3. Psalm 5, verse 3. It goes like this. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. It's powerful. As we sit, and I hope you do, followers of Christ, I hope you have a time during your day where you just sit and wait on the Lord. Read the Word, pray, and see how he responds. Prayer is an interaction. It's not a monologue. It should be an interaction. Seek him. He will come. This needs to be addressed in our lives. I believe there are many who claim Jesus as their Savior, but aren't waiting on the Lord. Third thing we have, Ananias was desiring to be holy, so he was living a right life. He was listening. He was practicing the presence of the Lord, as Brother Lawrence, I think it was, wrote in about the 17th century or so. Third thing, notice how he was leaning. Now, I really like the word inclined better, but it didn't have an L, so I went with leaning. Living, listening, and leaning. Notice Ananias responds this call from Jesus by saying, Lord. That means master. It means he knew he was in submission at this point. He is a man who has turned the reins of his life over to the Lord. Write down Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is my life verse. That doesn't make it special. It just makes me reminded that I need to put my heart before God every day. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, direct your paths, guide your paths, other versions say. This too needs to be addressed in our lives. I think there are many, I've known them over the years, who want to follow Jesus and yet want it their own way. That honestly doesn't work. Paul, when he's speaking to Jesus in some versions of the Bible, when he was approaching him, coming as the light, said, Paul, why do you keep kicking against the goads? And we're like, what's a goad? Is it like toads? No, a goad is an animal prod. And basically what he's saying is he's trying to herd Saul his way, and Saul keeps fighting back against it. And it hurts. It's a pointed object. Some of you here, you hear the call of God. You know he's speaking to you. And I don't mean call of God like you're going to go into ministry or go overseas or something. No. Day-to-day call. You're hearing it and you're saying, but this is going on. Yeah, but I got this going on. Listen, I realize we're not all in full-time ministry. I'm not either. But we are all ministers. We are all called of God if we claim Jesus Christ as our Lord. That means as Lord or Master, we submit to him. And we'll submit to him in different ways, all of us. But there is one way. And that is to follow Jesus Christ. All right, let's keep reading. Let me read Acts. Let me go over 10 again, and I'm going to go to 14 this time. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. I hope he knew where that was. When you arrive, ask for Saul of Tarsus. He is praying to me right now. Stop there for a second. Do you hear this? This is Jesus talking. Saul is praying to Jesus. What does that mean? What has happened in Saul's life? He's had a life change. He is seen, heard as a light, heard the voice of the risen Christ. Down south, we'd say, he's had a come to Jesus moment. He has. He knows he is the master. All right, he is praying to me right now. Verse 12, I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he can see again. 13, listen to this. Ananias replies, not yes, Lord, but Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard terrible things about this man done to believers in Jerusalem. And we hear that he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest every believer in Damascus. And I'll stop there. Here we went, doing well, Ananias. You said, yes, Lord, you were ready, living right. You were leaning in, listening. And the voice, you responded, yes. And then he heard what he was responding to. And it's like, Lord, do you know this guy? I've heard about him. Do you know him? This is one of those verses that make me truly believe that the Bible is real. If I were writing the Bible, that wouldn't be there. Ananias would have said, yes, Lord, I will follow you wherever I go. Yes, no, he didn't say that. He says, but wait a minute. This guy's a killer, and you're sending me to a killer. I'm out. He didn't say I'm out. The Lord convinced him. Let's keep going. The Lord said, go and do what I say. For Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for me. And if you know anything about Saul, Paul's life, he suffered a lot, a lot. I don't know what plans that God has for you. I don't know what he has in your future. But I do know this. When all we see are questions, the Lord has answers. We look at it from this perspective. And we say, Lord, how, why, where, when? But Lord. And the Lord's saying, I got this. I'm working both sides of this equation. I'm working on Saul. I'm working on you. I've got to get the two of you together. Are you saying yes to this, Ananias? Saul has said yes. And he's waiting for Ananias to respond. That's where you and I come into this. Hebrews 4:13, write this down. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Hebrews 4:13. Nothing. We don't have all the answers. We don't see things clearly. But faith or trust in the Lord should and must keep us following him. And the answers will come. As a pastor in my past said, it might take a lifetime, but the answers will come. What do we do in the meantime? We say, yes, Lord. Let me keep reading. We're going to finish this up. 15, I said in my notes in 19, but we're going to pick up 20. I'm starting in verse 15, and then I'm going to continue. But the Lord said, go and do what I say, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings and to the people of Israel. And I will show him much he must suffer for me. Verse 17, so Ananias went, woo-hoo, and found Saul. Very good. He laid his hands on him and said, brother Saul. Note that. Around church circles, when we say brother, sister, some churches are like that. It means you're part of the faith, you are a follower. He's already recognized that Saul is a follower of Jesus Christ. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me that you may get your sight back and be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's that power. There's that turbocharge coming for Saul's life. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. This guy is moving. Afterward, he ate some food and was strengthened. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days. Can you imagine the conversations that went on? So, Saul, how you been? Last I saw you, you were rounding people up. And immediately, he began preaching, that is Saul, about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is indeed the Son of God. Let me wrap this up. We know that Paul, first outright opposed Christ. But after his encounter with the light of Christ, he was changed dramatically. So much so that, as we just saw here, He got baptized, and he went out preaching the gospel. We don't know whether Ananias and Saul were Facebook friends after this, if they stayed in contact with each other. We don't know if Ananias ever did anything great for the Lord, except for this one time that it's recorded. Saul, we realize, as Paul, truly went to what Jesus said he would go to. He would go to Gentiles and kings, and he would go literally to the ends of the known earth, to that area at the time. He went. But what about Ananias? That's why he's more like us. Nobody records the deeds of the Lord that you and I may be doing. There's nobody here as a scribe like Luke taking down the history of where you've been with the Lord and what's happening. But let me tell you, he still knows. He still sees. But the question is, are you? Are you saying yes, Lord? Are you available to him so that when God calls, you say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." Or simply, "Yes, Lord." Asking him what you want to be doing with him. So let's consider the characters in the story. Let me wrap this up. Consider where you're at right now. Are you like a resistant Saul, fighting, kicking against the goads, fighting against what God wants you to do in your life? Have you never heard from him? He's looking for you, whether you know him or not. He's looking for you. He wants to spend eternity with you. He doesn't want to just put you to work. He wants you to have a relationship with him and to know him, to follow his ways. Is your faith misdirected? Saul was a man who wanted to even hurt Christ's followers. I'm not claiming anybody here would be that way, I hope. But come on. Consider Jesus. Do you know him as Lord? Are you a reluctant follower, more or less Ananias was at one point in our story? Are you living a separated life? Are you listening expectantly and leaning in to hear him? Are you surrendered to his will? Or have you been knocked down too much by your travel with sin and shame in your life? You have self-doubt. You want questions answered before you can commit yourself to Jesus Christ. It's time to make him Lord. It's time to set him as master once and for all. Or are you posed on the edge of your seat? Are you just waiting for the call of God that says, "Come with me. Here's the direction"? I hope that you would be. When you came in this morning, you had a half sheet of paper. Pull that out, would you? I want to briefly go over this. Pastor Steve preached a whole series on this. I'm not here to repeat this. Yes, that's the worship team coming forward. We'll see them. Notice at the top of the 24/7 initiative, it says this. I'll read it for you. You can read it yourself, I know. As individual disciples of Jesus, we want to be tuned in and walking with the Lord 24/7. Just what I was talking about today. We want a constant connection with him, living for him, listening for him, leaning toward him. The following passages that are listed there will help you, as it says, provide a framework for what that looks like in our lives. I have a recommendation for you. I got a full sheet of this. It's one I've had for a while. Go over these verses. Let God reveal himself in the framework of these verses right here. I'd even suggest, if you don't want to take them all at once, take them one day at a time. Today's Sunday. List Joshua 1:8 as Monday, that you're going to read it over and pray over it and say, "God, is this the biblical foundation of my life?" Tuesday, look at 1 Chronicles 16:11. "God, am I focused on you?" Pray through these seven verses. And if God speaks to you and says, "You know, I need you to get connected," on the other side of this, Originally, there were seven things that we can get connected to, and I'll go over them briefly. There's seven opportunities that God has put before this church in 2024. I'm going to read them off. Just listen. See if something really connects with your shape, that is, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. First one, raise the digital bar. Podcasts, socials, websites, streaming, and directory. Do you know about that? We're doing some of that already. Can you help with that? Is that where God is calling you? Second one, increase our community reach with block parties, fifth Sunday, our neighborhoods. Is God calling you to that? Grow staffing for ministries. I know that's hard from the outside. You have skills you believe should be here in the church. Talk to Pastor Steve. He's the guy for that. Engage in missions partnerships. I love to see that. It says Riga, Latvia, with Josiah Venture. That's where our team is already. And connecting with local partners. God is already moving on these things. That's exciting. Fifth one, prep and launch sports ministry with FCA Partnership. That's a fellowship of Christian athletes. We've already started a field. Do you have experience in sports, organization, leading? Do you want to come together with us and do that? Expanding facilities. We see a building going up. We're expanding. And last one, launch a capital or stewardship campaign, and we're going to be looking for commitments over 3 years. Are you giving to the church? We're putting up a building. It doesn't go up by itself. We're going to be talking about how we would love to pay for that and how we'd actually like to get out of debt for the mortgage that's on this place within the next 3 years. Open the package a little bit there. I'll close it back up and let Steve talk about that when he gets back. Is God calling you? Don't ignore his call. Let me pray briefly for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness to us always. We thank you that when we come to you, you're already ready to respond. Lord God, we just ask that you would speak clearly, that we would be comforted by your presence. And Lord God, we ask that we would respond with a yes, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.